Hey guys, welcome back to Another Man in the Mirror. I'll be continuing our teaching from the book of Romans, the beautiful mystery of your salvation. And I'll be coming from Romans, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 11 and verse 36. So if you have your Bibles, how about you open them up and let's start reading. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets and tore down your altars. I am the only one left and they are trying to kill me too. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So, too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it cannot be based on works. If there were grace, would no longer be grace. What then? What the people of Israel sought so earnestly, they did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see and their backs bent forever. Verse 11 says, again, I ask, did they stumble so to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. And verse 36 says this. It says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So with these verses and in the book of Romans, I'll be speaking from the topic, your agenda, his assignment. Your agenda, his assignment. So here we have Paul, which I love. He rendered off a question and he's starting off, but then he follows up and answer it too. So as we look at the first verse, as it starts off, so powerful, it says, I asked them, did God reject his people? And then he follows up and I can feel the expression in the verse as he begins to speak. And he says, by no means. I'm an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham and from the tribe of Benjamin. So there was a question that was posed as he began to speak on this. And it says, God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. And then we follow in again with the same verse. It says, don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he appealed to God against Israel? So even in that, so he spoke to have some type of substance to support what was going on or what are we saying. So right now we have Israel, and Israel is pretty much on their own agenda. They're doing things according to what they feel as though is right towards them, as far as when it comes down to worship and the way that they're living their lives. And here it is, Paul is just trying to figure out where they really are in this situation. And he's asking God, and he's just speaking, trying to figure out where they are. So here, it brings me to my first bubble, if you're following along, and that is seeking for change. Seeking for change. So this is what we hear. He's here seeking for change, trying to figure out, or as we're looking for, seeking for confirmation. Seeking for confirmation. He's looking to try to figure out where they are at this point of time, because he understands what has been going forth. So he's asking, trying to render and just trying to pull and find out, okay, are they in a good place? You understand and know how it is certain times that if you're had a relationship or have a relationship with someone, and then you can kind of feel like, hey, you know what? I'm not in a good place, because you can feel that eerie tension. And then of course, if it's a meaningful relationship to you, you want to make sure that you can go ahead and correct those things as well. Sort of like a family member. We all have family members that probably chose different paths than what we have chosen. And it's not that we don't love our family member. That's what's keeping us connected and keeping us with the relationship and the open pathway for them. We just don't agree with the path that they chose. We'll keep an open pathway to a relationship. If you called at any time, I'll be there to listen and answer and do anything for you. But I just want to let you know, I don't agree with that path that you chose at this point in time. So, which leads me to my first question that I would like to ask you. Have you ever looked back at something you never really gave a chance and had to watch it flourish? How did that change your outlook? Here it is. Israel didn't really give it a chance. And on this point, they had to sit back and watch the Gentiles receive something that was for them. It said in the verse, it said, you know what? They were, God did not reject his people, for he foreknew. Why would he reject his own people? That's like us. Why would you reject your own people? I may be upset with something. I may teach you a lesson, but I'm not going to reject you. So in this situation, have you ever looked back at something you never really gave a chance and had to watch it flourish? How did that change your outlook? And it brings me to our big idea. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. So here, as we continue to go on and look into this, I love that Paul asked those questions, and then it opened up a dialogue between both, because they were able to speak and see. It even had some force behind it to say what Elijah even said. It said, look what Israel's doing right now. Listen, they're killing all your prophets. They're tearing down all your altars. And guess what? I'm the only prophet left. And lo and behold, they're trying to kill me too. What is going on with Israel? We're trying to figure out and see what's going on. But then the Lord follows up and it says this. God's answer to him, he said, listen, I have reserved for myself 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to bow. They did not do it. So too, at the present time, there's a remnant chosen by grace. Isn't that like God? His grace is just so amazing. And I want to let you know that no matter how far you may feel as though that you're down, or how long you may feel as though to reach, grace is long enough to get you and reach you to wherever you may be, whatever you may need, whatever needs to happen or change to shift in your life. Here, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot trying to figure out what's going on. But the great thing is just even starting to saying, listen, God will never reject his people. He'll never reject his people. Which this brings me to our second point. Our second point in our bubble is separated, not rejected. Separated, but not rejected. So we can see this right here, you know, as we begin to look at it. At any time, let's just even think about it. We have a right. He had a right, if he wanted to reject us. Let's be honest. We already know that we don't give things time, a second chance, and maybe one time, or one and done. And you know what? We just reject it overall. We're done with it. But here, you know what? It was just the separation phase. You said, you know what? I'll get you to see it one way or another. So separated, but not rejected. That's a great place to be as well, because rejected, you'll never be able to recover, redeem yourself. If you separate it, you still have time to reconnect and get back in good graces. So here, as we begin to look, it says this on the separation phase. It says, what then? The people of Israel sought so earnestly did not obtain. The elect among them did, but the others were hardened. And it says, it was written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that could not see and ears that could not hear to this very day. So here's the separation in here. You know what? Some people are earnestly seeking, but they won't be able to attain it. But there was an elect among him that was able to because of the grace. Now, the others, they were hardened. And it says this in the verse, God gave them a spirit of stupor. And another version of the Bible says a spirit of sleep. And I've heard one person even give an example of saying it to the point of like that sticky, I don't know if your hand or your leg or foot ever went to sleep and you feel that. I mean, you know that it's functioning and it's there, but not, you can't use it to the point or place that you would want to use it. So here it is. You don't want to just be functioning in your own agenda, because you'll be sort of like in a spirit of stupor. Like, you have eyes that you cannot see and you have ears that you cannot hear. You're on your own agenda and it looks like you're progressing. It looks like things are opening up for you, but you're not really seeing what's really before you, what God really has. And you may be hearing great things from other people, and those things may validate you, but you're not really hearing about what God really has for the next step that can get you to the next place, that can push you to where you really need to be. So it brings me to my second question. And my second question is this. If separation can be a struggle, what keeps you focused on your relationship with God? How can you exhibit the same investment that God does? If separation is a struggle, what keeps you focused on your relationship with God? How can you exhibit the same investment that God does? God shows and he really exhibit his investment in us that he has. But let's just be honest, separation can come as a struggle for us. So there's two separations, God, the separation for preserving, and then we have a separation that, you know, we can't really pull ourselves away from because what? We like the results of things that certain things may bring to us, and that's where we get to our own agenda. I'm gonna be honest with you. Your own agenda can be dangerous at times. It's always great to get insight from God, to even have him to be able to validate some things or even check with him on certain things that we want to approach or do. Because I found out this, it'll save you a world of time, a world of trouble as well. And then we don't want to be walking around thinking that we're doing things and progressing, but we got a spirit of stupor on us. We're not even really seeing. We're not even really hearing. Why? Because we still focused on our own agenda and the things that we're doing. So as we begin to look at this even more, as we begin, there was something that David even followed up and said. It says, may their table become as a snare and a trap, a stumbling block of retribution to them, and may their eyes darken that they cannot see and their backs forever bent. I mean, we don't ever want to be stuck in a place like that. We sit at our tables and we're thinking, hey, you know what? We're doing great. This is it. Or our own agenda has us out at our own place, but it's just a trap, something that's going to have us fall and be a stumbling block before us. So we want to make sure that we're not ever putting our own agenda before it and we're missing everything. But the great thing about it, as far as when we begin to look at this with God, the beautiful part of our salvation, that it's still available. Which brings me back to our big idea, and that is this. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. So now that we were able to look at that as we begin to read it, now here's another great question. As we begin to look at verse 11, it says this, again, I asked, because I asked before and it was no, I'm an Israelite myself. Now I have another question that I'm asking. Again, I asked, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. And if you're reading it and you're looking along in the Bible, it should have an exclamation mark right after that. Not at all. Rather, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. So again, I ask, did they stumble beyond recovery? No. Oh my goodness. I get chills when I begin to think about that, because even though sometimes we get on our agenda and how far we may go, and our eyes may not show us what we need to see in our ears, it still says that they did not stumble beyond recovery. They did not stumble beyond recovery, even though they got caught up in their own agenda, even though they were going on and on and on their own path and the things that they were doing, they still did not fall beyond recovery, meaning God's grace is still there and salvation is still there as well. That, hey, when you really get that check with yourself and you have that self-evaluation and things begin to click, it's still available. It's still there. You did not fall beyond recovery. And I want to say that to you that may be listening right now, wherever you may be. I don't know the position or the state that you may be in, but you have not, you haven't fallen beyond recovery. It's too wide. It's too deep. You cannot fall beyond recovery. It's there. And now, like you said, like this, look, so Israel don't want it. I'll give it to the Gentiles. You know what? Make them jealous and they'll see and they'll understand. But it already told us, not, I'll never forsake or reject my own people. It's still there. And that's the beautiful thing about salvation. And it brings me to our third bubble, our third point. And it says this, sustained for his glory. Sustained for his glory. And verse 36 says this, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. That verse is kind of tricky how it says it. In this version, it says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. And I'm telling you right now, to him be the glory. And that's what's going to happen. So we're sustained for his glory. You haven't fell beyond recovery. You have not, and it says not at all, you have not fell beyond recovery. It's just your transgressions. Those things are in our way. Sometimes those things can block and see. And like I said, we may have that spirit of stupor that may be there that may cause us to even be blocked from what's going on. But once you get that wake-up call and begin to see those things, then things will begin to fall in line with you. So I have a question. I have another question for you. And the question is this. What are some things that come to mind when you hear the word salvation? How do you view salvation? Now that we've been going through these teachings, what are some things that come to mind when you hear salvation? Some people hear salvation and just think, okay, this just may be this word just thrown around. But think about it, as we begin to look into this scripture, I see something here, not beyond recovery, it's still there. And that's some of the beautiful things about it. And I love it so much. They did not stumble so to fall beyond recovery, not at all. And that could be something that we hold on to when things come up, or we even think about some of the things that we may feel like that's in our line or in our face or in our way. You can settle it with saying not at all. Why? But wait a minute, I messed up or slipped or I don't see. Not at all, not at all. So as we begin to look back at this, and just like our big idea tells us this, what we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. He sees it all through there. He's just waiting, and it's there. He's letting us know, listen, you couldn't fall far enough. You couldn't fall hard enough, because I'm still there and I'll settle it. And I want you to begin to reflect on some of those things for yourself that you may think that may be in a way. It's just so beautiful how your salvation is, because it's saying this, you're sustained for his glory. You're kept, you're preserved, you're there. But what are we doing? We're seeking for the change. We're seeking for the change or the confirmation. We have to know that we're separated, not rejected. So don't let your feelings and emotions get in the way. You're just separated and not rejected. God's people. And here we are, sustained for his glory. And we have to remember that big idea. What we count as a mistake, God counts as potential. So I'm hoping that this helped you today as we begin to look at it, look at these verses and begin to follow back up. And I was just glad how sometimes, and we have to do just as Paul did, as we ask some questions to try to figure out, hey, am I messed up? No, not at all. Not at all. It's the beautiful thing about your salvation. It's the beautiful thing about it. So if you will, let's just go ahead and seal this today with a prayer. Go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what you've done and what you're doing in our lives. We really appreciate everything that you're doing for us. And we don't take anything for granted. We want to say this. If we have been operating under a spirit of stupor, we ask that you begin to remove those things. We ask right now, God, that you just remove the darkness or the scales from over our eyes right now, God. And we ask that you clear our ears right now, God. Why? So that we can see what it is that you have for us and understand. And we can hear your voice wherever we may be. Father, we thank you right now, God, for making salvation available, God, wherever we may be. Just as the scripture said, we have not failed beyond recovery, God. And you are there for us, because we know at the end that we're just separated from this, or may have been separated at point of times, but we'll never be rejected. We are not falling beyond recovery. And we know that at the end, it's going to be through you and for you that you'll get the glory. So we thank you for everything that you're doing in our lives. And we appreciate you and we love you. And we ask that you continue to give us the insight that we need to receive and stay close to you. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.